You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning, I'm Luis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today are one of my colleagues, Sherry Lowell Lewis, who teaches here in the Communication Department, and also we have with us Marie Rose, and Marie Rose is an alum of UTEP, and she's also an author. And she's gotten a fellowship, past recipient of the Walt Disney Fellowship Screenwriting. She's a proven expert in the story development field. She's helped shape major motion pictures and television shows for film studios and premiere production. And most recently, she has written a book called
Zoosh.
There you go. Great sound effect. And that is Sherry Lowell Lewis, my colleague, and she is narrating the book. She translated it in Spanish, and Marie Rose wrote the original in English, and so we're going to talk a little bit about that. First of all, Marie Rose, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me here. I'm here in L.A. It's rainy, but I remember sunny El Paso well.
Well, thank you. I wish it was raining here or doing something. But anyway, Sherry Lewis is with us, and Sherry, as I mentioned, is one of my colleagues. And Sherry, thank you very much for joining us.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Now, we're going to talk about your book, and it's a children's book, and it's in English and in Spanish. And Marie Rose, if you would care to share with us as far as the story, how it came about, and what is the story all about, actually?
Well, thank you for asking. It's a fun children's space adventure fantasy. It's a picture book originally, which is illustrated by Susan Lee, who did a beautiful job of illustrating in traditional oil paints. And we did it in the visual style of Vincent van Gogh, with the very thick, lush brush strokes and bright colors after his painting, his famous painting, The Starry Night. And it's basically about a child hero whose imagination is more powerful than anything else on Earth, as we know children's imaginations are. And he's able to, he's learning about the colors of the rainbow and that shimmers outside of his bedroom. And he's able to take off on the rainbow as sort of a rocket ride through our galaxy, through our solar system, and go on a little space adventure right before bedtime, where he meets the mean green Martians of Mars. And he has s'mores, a picnic on our Luna, the moon, and with the friendly moon men, before he crash lands on a soft pillow and goes back to bed. And after we published the book, my partner Chris Chamberlain and I decided that we would like to also do Audible editions. Children's books are normally very short, so we wanted to add more production value, so we created original music and sound effects. I narrated the English edition, but my Spanish is nowhere near as beautiful and bonita as Sherry Lowell Lewis's. And I asked her, as my longtime friend and a voice actress of some amazing repute there in El Paso and elsewhere, if she would consider translating it to Spanish and also voicing it for me. And she graciously said yes, and here we are.
All right. And here is Sherry Lowell Lewis. And Sherry, tell us about the translation part. How did you go about doing that and to keep the same story? Because, you know, sometimes living here on the border, we tend to translate in Spanglish, as you know. And so we'll translate stuff literally. And so it doesn't mean the same thing. Like my female duck hurts, me duele la pata, you know, some stuff like that. So tell us about
it. My favorite is between and drink a chair, which is the direct translation of entre y tome una silla. So between and drink a chair. I've been saying that since middle school. My Spanish teacher taught it to me. It is very important to get it right and to keep as much as possible the essence of the meaning. The context needs to remain similar. And Spanish is more verbose. It uses more words up in a single sentence than English does. English is just more or less cryptic that way. So when I approached this in particular, most of the translation was fun. It was easy to do. And then I came to certain challenges with expressions, some expressions that are purely English or American at that, and that had to be then reconfigured into some expression in Spanish. In particular, I remember when the child talks about carving the jack-o'-lantern with daddy for Halloween. So now I've got jack-o'-lantern and I've got Halloween, and they don't exist
in
the Hispanic culture. It's not part of their culture. And so I had to wrestle through those two ideas at once.
And how did you work that out, Sherry?
I asked people that I know who speak Spanish and said, well, how would you say this? You know, what do you think this would mean? Or would that be the wrong thing to say? And so we had to decide, for example, you know, Halloween just doesn't translate. And so I decided to just leave that in English. And the carving of the calabaza just became making faces out of a pumpkin. And I didn't go with jack-o'-lantern. I just went with pumpkin carving. And that's kind of what I had to do because, again, jack-o'-lantern doesn't translate.
And one of the things at the beginning of the book, you talk about telling the child about the rocket, and you say, voy a enseñarte de decirte de un cohete. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people hear
firecracker.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so when you finished, what was the next step? Did you have to take it to somebody to find proofread it, or did Marie Rose did you do that?
No, Marie had to trust me, pretty much.
But, and I did.
But Chris does have some knowledge also. And so when we were working on some of the peripheral stuff, Chris gave me some input on ways to express a certain idea that I, for some reason, blocked out. And as soon as he said it, I went, oh, of course, yes, that's right. So he was there to sort of check. And Marie also told me at one point that she had, I don't know, remember who, but I remember her saying she played it for someone, and she said it sounded really good. So I think it was a woman, and that's what I know. Some woman listened to it and said it sounded good, and that was a litmus test for Marie.
No, it was, because absolutely what they were doing also wasn't just saying how great the translation was. They were saying, oh, my gosh, I want to hear this. They were trying to imitate her beautiful accent that she has when she speaks in Spanish. And of course, she's got great vocal quality as well, which is also a reason I thought of her. This was a perfect fit right down the line, and I'm so glad she collaborated with me again.
Marie, tell us a little bit about, I have loved audiobooks for a long time, and I think because I enjoy listening to radio dramas and old-time radio dramas, audiobooks have taken off tremendously. And because of that, you have to be careful. It may be a great book, but if you don't get the right narrator, or it's not told in the certain style that you want, a certain pace, it makes it hard to listen to. That's going to turn the listener off. So from that standpoint, tell us a little bit about how you went about in dealing with Audible and what they wanted, what you wanted. And you, as the author of the book, do you have say in how you want the book delivered, who your narrator is going to be, any of that stuff?
I do. As the rights holder, I have a lot of fun, heady power in that regard. And because this is a bedtime story, I definitely wanted a certain storyteller narration. Bedtime stories are meant to be spoken aloud from generation down to the younger generation. So in this instance, I wrote it to be spoken aloud, and I was speaking it aloud as I was writing it, too, to make sure it flowed well. And then when it came to giving booth direction to Sherry long distance, she was a total pro and took all my direction. I actually had her do it a couple of different ways to see, you know, so we could both feel it out as performers, what felt best. And so I did the English audiobook edition of Swoosh, and I did it more for English audiences as more of a calm, soothing bedtime story. But for Sherry, I kept asking her, you know, let's get excited about this. This is a super secret. We're telling our best friend who's, you know, 5 to 10 years old. And she delivered that just in one or two takes. She also added some extra flavors that I hadn't anticipated when I was writing that was buried in the text that she pulled out that I wasn't expecting, that was sort of a pleasant, happy surprise.
As parents, we've all read to our children, and I remember when my children were small, they would say, Daddy, we want you to read us a story, and then a Bible story, and then one from your mind. And the one from my mind, I had to use voices and do all that stuff. And so you have to have that imagination, because the child has a wild imagination. And so with audio, just like old radio dramas, your imagination has to be there. And so, Sherry, with your voice, you kind of have to direct that imagination and paint that picture and tell them that you're smiling, or tell them, you know, they can see that the rocket taking off.
You know, I've been doing radio commercials for quite some time, and That's one of the things that I've been told before by producers early on, and that is they would say, could you do the read again, only this time smile? And it's the listener can hear you smiling somehow. It comes out in your voice. And so that was something I grinned so much my face hurt by the time I was done with this, because I did it with a huge smile on my face. Everything is just amazing and wonderful. But I had this great script to work from that had so many colors and so descriptive of the places you will go in the solar system and the size of the planets and the names of the moons. And there's so much. It was so rich in text that it made it easy. In fact, my challenge was to hold back a little bit, because I could have gone even crazier and I didn't want to go too nuts. But it's so beautiful. You've seen some of the artwork that is, as Marie said, is so rich in color, so Van Gogh-esque, that it's just gorgeous.
It's very colorful.
It's very colorful. And it talks about colors in the story. So there's colors, there's shapes, there's the names of the planets. It's very educational, and it's that painless way to learn about stuff, because it's wrapped around all this adventure. And so that, I think, makes it easy to learn the colors, to remind yourself of colors for younger children, to learn about the planets and what they're like for older kids. And so I do see it as a range of audience from, say, 5 to 10 years old, younger even.
Sherry, tell us from your point of view, and as Marie mentioned, you have taught voice acting, you've taught speech. What I want to know is, and the people want to know at home, they can't imagine when they hear your voice, they go, wow, that sounds great. Or when they hear the animation of a cartoon and they hear that lion talking or that giraffe talking. You talked about the smile, but people want to know, okay, what gets you in the mood? And you can get wild. And, you know, because it's radio, you can get up, you can stand up, you can move around. And we both tell our students to do that, not just stand and hold on to the podium like it's going away.
Exactly right. Yeah. You have to let yourself go a little bit. I've always been this way, I think. I was always an animated speaker. I loved to read out loud. I loved it when they would call on me in class, and I didn't get called often because I was so good that they wouldn't call me, and I hated that. But I can remember reading aloud to my mother, and it's just something I've been doing my whole life. So I have a sense of what character is. I went and got a couple of degrees in theater, so I have that background of being able to reach around inside myself and look through the menu that is me and find those aspects that I can put into a character, try it out, make the adjustments as need be. I've spent most of the last several years doing almost all voice acting and not enough stage acting, but it's the same when you're on stage, except you add your body into it.
It's a lot more fun, voice acting, don't you think?
I like both. I love both. I mean, I've done voice acting a lot, and so it's something I'm good at, something I really enjoy doing, but I also miss the stage. So, in fact, I'm doing Romeo y Julieta, a bilingual presentation of Shakespeare's play.
Let me tell you how it ends.
No spoilers. Spoiler alert. No. That's right. But because I like to keep my hand in.
Okay. Well, I guess some of us have radio faces like me.
And you, yeah, that's
and
right.
You're, yeah. And you're on the stage and on the radio. Marie, from the standpoint of the author, and Sherry mentioned, you know, how she makes those words come alive. You as a writer, you also have to make those words come alive. And as you're writing, you're writing very descriptive. It's a colorful book, but then also the way it's written, it's also very colorful. So what do you expect, or when you're writing that story, what is coming to your mind as far as what the child is seeing, reading, and hearing?
Well, one of the cool things that I think I've got is total recall from my own childhood. I remember the stories I love to hear and listen to and read. And I fell in love with reading at an early age. And became passionate about the written word, but then also the performed word, because I also got a couple of degrees in theater at UTEP. And I really appreciate that if it isn't on the page, it won't be on the stage. So you do have to start with a really strong blueprint. You have to put yourself in a child's imagination. And I was happy to regress to my happy childhood and remember the things that I felt in awe of, if it was adventure or if it was learning. And I've been really gratified that a lot of reviewers have, are mommies, because, of course, parents buy the books, not the young kids necessarily. And some of the mothers are homeschool moms, and one of them told me, I'm going to use this because of the Van Gogh Van Gogh-esque illustrations. I'm going to use this for our section on Van Gogh. and have them read the book. And another mom told me that her son read it and suddenly got super interested in outer space and wanted to learn more about the planets in our solar system. And there's nothing more gratifying than my story sparked an interest in the arts and in science in one book. Well, I was really proud of that.
Once again, we are visiting with Marie Rose. She is the author of Swoosh and beautiful illustrations, as she mentioned. And you can go to Amazon and you can download a sample and you can see these beautiful pictures. And you can go to Audible and also hear a sample of the book read by Marie Rose and also by Sherry Lowell Lewis. And that book is available, again, on Amazon, on Audible, and a lot of your bookstores. You can just Google it online and can find those. Marie, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And thank you, Sherry Lowell Lewis, for being with us.
My pleasure.
Two great nuggets from UTEP on this centennial celebration. And we want to thank you both for being with us. Again, the name of the book is Swoosh. It's available in English and in Spanish on Audible. And you can also go to Amazon.com. And if you have a Kindle or a Nook, it's available for that too. And I guess a real book as well.
Yes.
Okay. Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.